The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome back once again. Every once in a while, I think it's helpful to hear the stories of the lives of the saints. So that's what I thought that we would do this morning, to hear the stories of the lives of the saints we celebrate today, St. Isaac Jogues, St. John de Brebeuf, and their companions, collectively known as the North American Martyrs. Now, here's a little thought for the day. If you want to share the gospel with people, if you want to help other people find what you've found, if you want to share the greatest joy of your life with people, if you want to share the gospel with people, you have to be willing to go where you're not welcome, to go where you're not wanted, to go where you're not understood, to go where you're not loved. It doesn't mean that you have to clobber people over the head and bust down any doors and force the gospel on people, but you know, it does mean that you have to learn how to be comfortable being uncomfortable if you want to share the good news. And I don't think there's anybody in all the history of the saints who better exemplifies that principle than the saints that we celebrate today. St. Isaac Jogues and his companions, collectively known as the North American Martyrs, 6 Jesuit priests and 2 lay people who volunteered to minister among the Huron and the Iroquois and the Mohawk peoples in the 1630s and in the 1640s in what was then known as New France, what's today known as upstate New York, and the province of Quebec. Now, these highly educated Jesuits could easily have had highly respected and very comfortable lives teaching in the university back in France. But they volunteered to go to the New World to spread the good news, which at the time was the wild unknown. And to live among the Huron Indians out of sheer desire to share the gospel with people who they knew had never heard it before. And so they volunteered to go to the New World and to live as members of the tribe so as to share with them, as one with them, this great goodness of the truth of the gospel, which was no easy task. The first thing they had to do, the first order of business, was to learn the Huron language. Now, I'm told that this is a very difficult task for several reasons, first of which, there's no written script in Huron. And second of all, there's almost no labial movement, which means that spoken Huron sounds like a series of monosyllabic grunts, out of which you have to discern some sort of meaning. And thirdly, that there are no words in Huron for abstract concepts. Now, think about that one for just a second, and you try explaining the Trinity, or the Eucharist, or the Incarnation, in monosyllabic grunts to a people who have no terms for abstract concepts, right? Nothing but concrete things like fire and wind and cold and snow and rain and water. And they dedicated themselves to living in the Huron longhouses. The longhouses, well, they have to be described to try to be understood. Imagine the entire tribe living under one roof, right? The entire tribe together under one roof in what they call the longhouses. And in the cold of the dead of winter in Quebec and upstate New York, they had no chimneys. They burned the fires right there in the longhouses, and they let the smoke waft up and hopefully filter out through the roof, which meant that they were chock thick with smoke and with every discernible and non-discernible human odor. Isaac Jogues went into the longhouse for the first time, and the very first thing he did was walk out and vomit into the snow. from the sheer disgusting smell of the longhouses. But they learned. They persevered. They learned how to get used to it. And they had some measure of success. Some people welcomed them. Some people befriended them. Isaac Jogues baptized an entire family of Huron Indians. And he says, for all that I've suffered and endured up until this point, it was worth it. It was all worth it, if only to share the faith with this one, and he baptizes a little baby, with this one child. Some people welcomed them, but other people, they never relaxed their suspicions of these mysterious foreigners who they called the Black Robes. Now, one thing you don't ever want to do is glamorize the Native Americans. Everybody's doing that these days, and I'm telling you, they don't know anything about life in the early tribes. They were people, right? Fallen human nature, same as anybody else. And one of the main faults of the Huron Indians is they were constantly at war, and I mean constantly. In order to get a woman to marry a young man, the man had to prove his valor by fighting, which is some indication of just how much fighting those young men were eager to get out and go do, right? Constantly at war. And on one bad day, Isaac Jogues and all his companions were captured in a battle and taken prisoner by the Mohawk, where they lived as prisoners for 13 months, with mistreatment, with abuse, and with even torture. Beaten with rods, prodded with sticks so that they could not sleep. Isaac Jogues even had his fingers gnawed off by the Mohawk chieftain. Until one day, a passing group of Dutch traders set them free, fur trappers who negotiated for their release, and they all went back to France. Isaac Jogues got special permission from Pope Urban VII to offer the Mass with gnarled fingers, the Pope saying, "No one who's shed his blood for Christ should ever be prohibited from offering the blood of Christ." And after a short stay back in comfortable France, they astonished their superiors by asking to go back to the New World. They all said, "Why on earth would you want to do that after they've beaten you, harmed you, even tortured you?" And Isaac Jogues said very simply, "I want to go back because I love them." Now there's the answer of a saint. Because I love them. And they went back and lived among the Huron, and tried their best to evangelize and share the good news, and until one day, a plague spread among the peoples of the tribe, and a blight fell upon the crops, and that year's crops failed. They blamed it, of course, on the Black Robes. And Isaac Jogues and John de Brebeuf and his companions were killed by tomahawk on this day in 1646. But you know what they say? The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. You know, one of the Mohawk that they baptized, a young lady who I think you've all heard of, she's a canonized saint, Kateri Tekakwitha, the Lily of the Mohawks. One of the lessons of this feast day being that no suffering offered in the name of Christ does not only bear fruit, but bear abundant fruit. Take that one to the bank, right? But there's a lot of lessons we can learn from this feast day. I used to be a high school chaplain. And every once in a while, all of us high school chaplains from all of the high schools, we'd get together and we would commiserate about how difficult it is to share the faith with teenagers. And one of the chaplains, he said to me, "The less we're wanted, the more we're needed." Now that's a phrase that could apply to so many of you as well. The less you're wanted, the more you're needed. Because, you know, there's the way it's been for so many of us for so long now. We've kept our faith. We haven't changed anything. We have the same convictions now that we had last year and 10 years ago. In the midst of a world that's constantly changing its convictions, things which are perfectly fine one day are suddenly part of cancel culture the next, and what, just by hanging on to your faith, you suddenly found yourself unwelcome. Sometimes in your school, sometimes in your place of work, sometimes even under your own roof. It's an important day to remember that the word martyr means witness. That's all it means. And if you want to be a witness to a God who is not welcome in this world, who found no place to lay his head when he was born, you and I, we've got to learn how to be comfortable being uncomfortable, to go where we're not welcome, and to remember that the less we're wanted, the more we're needed, never losing the love for the people God has sent into our lives. Who knows what that might lead to, but all we want to do is ask for God's grace to be faithful, right? To be faithful witnesses to wherever He might send us. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do that today. St. Isaac Joke, St. John de Brebeuf, and their companions, pray for us.